Today's reading begins in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, these kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. And all these joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is, the Salt Sea. 12 years after they served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him came and defeated the Raphaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Shavath-Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their hill country of Seir as far as El Paran on the border of the wilderness. They turned back and came to Enmishphat, that is Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Adma, the king of Zeboim, the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out, and they joined battle in the valley of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits, and as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them, and the rest fled to the hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions, and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shavah, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share." After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. but he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." So we have two interesting sections here in these two chapters for today's reading. And of course, there's a lot of difficult to pronounce names. I had to look a couple of them up to see how to pronounce them. And so it's not just about giving a bunch of names, nor is it about any sort of enumeration of who was kings at the time. I think the whole point in describing to you all these different kings and areas and this battle that took place is to point out that God was with Abram. Abram, when he went to rescue Lot, went with, I assume, a much, much smaller and less trained force than these kings went up against Chedorlaomer. But Abram was successful. Now, maybe you might say, well, they weren't prepared for Abram. They were going up against, you know, to battle against these other kings. Well, maybe that's the case, but maybe that was the plan of God as well. The point is that with, you know, some 318 men, Abram is able to go and take all of the possessions back, the women, the children, and Lot and his family and his possessions. All of these things were given into the hand of Abram. And when Melchizedek says, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand," yes, that was very true. God was behind this whole thing so that Abram would be successful. Abram, of course, gives a tithe, a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. And of course, you can look in the book of Hebrews about the idea of the order of Melchizedek. You know, before there was a Levite priesthood, Melchizedek was a priest, and Jesus was then a priest after that same type of order. In other words, ordained by God, but not through some Levitical priesthood. And then whenever this king of Sodom says, "Take everything, but I just want the people," Abram says, "Look, let my people take their spoils, but I'm not going to take anything from you, lest you say I've made Abram rich." And Abram's motivations were pure. He just wanted to rescue Lot, and he ends up rescuing these other people as well. Then you have this covenant that is made with Abram, and Abram asks for some sort of signification from the Lord that these things would come to place, because he's a little worried about it. He says, "Look, I don't have any kids. I don't have any heirs. In fact, you know, the heir to my household is going to end up being somebody else." And God says, "No, it won't. You are going to have children." And he shows him the stars of heaven, says, "So shall your offspring be." I've heard a few explanations of people, you know, talking about this, you know, cutting in half these animals and the passing between them and everything. I've never been truly satisfied with the things that I've read that try to explain why it was done this way. So for the most part, I've just taken it on faith that this meant something to Abram that we don't necessarily understand today. That we're so far removed from it that it seems foreign to us. And I'm okay with that. That doesn't really bother me. I can accept on faith that this was something between God and Abram that, you know, had a very real significance to him. The point really is that Abram believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so he tells him, you know, to your offspring I will give this land, this large portion of land that's occupied by all these various peoples at this time, the Kenites, Kenizzites, Cabanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. And so, again, Abram is told, you will receive this, and you will go and be buried at a good old age. So he comforts Abram with these words. So some things to think about today, and perhaps the place to leave us today is this idea of Abram believed God. Do we believe God? It's not, do I believe God exists? No, do I believe the Word of God? When he tells me things through his written word, do I believe those things and I have faith in them? We need to have faith. We need to be strong in those things, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what Satan wants people to believe. No, I believe what the Lord my God, the God Most High that blessed Abram, said to him and to me. I believe God. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.